You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
All right. We're going to do I'm not going to say it's an old song, but it's a good song. Leland said I can't call them old songs, even though I've been singing them a long, long time and I'm getting a little older. But I sure do love this one. This key right here. I got it. As I journey through this land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me all, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Billows rise from the mighty deep, and the Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep, and He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His saving face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, there's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. So I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Yes, sir, I'm going to rejoice forever.
Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 19. If you don't have your Bible and would like to have one, if you lift your hand, we got some guys that will bring you one. All right. While we're doing that, I got this from an inmate a couple of years back. I just run across it again this week. All of us have heard about the poem, and even I think they made a song of it, of footprints in the sand. And this is something that's kind of a takeoff of that. The inmate didn't write it. In fact, I don't know who wrote this. But it said, one night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints it was seen. The footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prince appeared and asked the Lord, what have we here? These prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they're too big for feet. My child, he said in sober tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know, so I got tired. I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight, when one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Now, I think that's That sure fits me a whole lot more than footprints in the sand. I'm going to tell you, most of my life I've just been been messed up. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 16. Matthew 19. Jesus only ministered 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? 3.5 years, and 2,000-something years later, we're still talking about him. Probably nobody in here could tell me who was president in 1936. But 3.5 years, all Jesus knew. He never traveled over 100 miles from home. Never had a microphone. He did a lot of his teaching just sitting down. He never ran advertising. He didn't have billboards, and he didn't do signs. People just came to hear him talk because he had something to say. And the people recognized that. And even though he was just a carpenter's son, he had no formal training. They called him sometime rabbi, but they call a lot of people rabbi. That just meant master. That's all it meant. But the Pharisees knew he had no formal training. That's why they couldn't stand him. Man, I've got all this great education. They spent more time in school than you did, Kenny. They got a lot of, they went for years to get all that education. And, I remember getting out of college and discovering about 4 years out that I had gotten a degree and totally missed the education. My vocabulary was about like an eighth grader's or a little less. But these people were amazed that Jesus Christ, the son of a carpenter, could sit and talk and hold people's attention for days. Days. They stayed so long that he had to feed them, but look, because they couldn't make it back home. Just come to hear him preach. And a rich young ruler, a man with a lot of money, heard about him evidently, because in verse 16 it said, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, before we go any further, let me say, this guy's already decided his own plan of salvation, because he said, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" So he decided that he needed to do one good thing, and that would just get him into heaven. Now, notice what Jesus said. He said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? Because there's none good but God." Now, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is either God or he's the biggest imposter that ever lived on this earth. Somebody said about Jesus that he was either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. He's Lord. See? He claimed to be that. He said, "Why call me good? There's only one good. That's God. There's none good, God." He said, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Notice, this is plural. He said, "What one good thing should I do?" Jesus said, "Well, just for starters, why don't we just keep the commandments?" And notice the verse 18. He said, "Which?" He's really stuck on that one thing, isn't he? Jesus didn't say, "Pick one." This is the way most of us are when we're always discussing things with God. We got our own thoughts about it. We don't pay much attention to him. And this guy's doing the same thing. I'm always telling God what he ought to be doing. And how that he ought to bless me. And how he shouldn't bless you. Because you about half con. I remember one time. I'm ashamed to admit this. But I told God about it. I said, "Lord, if you knew about this guy what I knew about him, you wouldn't bless him at all. He's sorry and he's no good." This young man, he's got his own way of doing things. Even though he's asking Christ, he's in the meantime, he's kind of telling him. He said, "Which?" He said, "You give me these commandments. Which one?" Pinpoint it. Tell me about one. Which one do I need to do? I'm trying to get this thing settled on how I get to heaven, have eternal life. So he said, which? And so Jesus just comes back with him with some commandments. Plural again. He said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, here's six things you could start with. Okay. And by the way, he could have kept all those and never get to heaven, but what it's going to point out to him, as we're going to see in a minute, because the Bible said this about the law. He said the law was to help us realize we're sinners. You look at the law and you say, man, I can't do that. You look at the law and say, well, I've already done that one. I've already messed that one up. You say, well, I never murdered anybody. How about adultery? And I'm not asking for a show of hands. See? Thou shalt not steal. Well, other than, unless it's from bankers or the IRS. We all got our groups that it's all right to steal from, huh? Yeah. See, thou shalt not steal. Notice, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means just quit lying about it. Well, how many beers have you had, sir? Oh, a couple. It's always a couple. It is never three. It is never one. It is never 13. It's always a couple. How many drinks have you had? Couple? I probably have maybe two. Yeah. You know. Well, how big a bottle did they come in, baby? Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, I'd have been good, but my daddy run off and left me and mama. My daddy's fault. My mama was worthless. She no good. It's her fault. I this doesn't come up here in this, but I wonder how this young man's mother and daddy was getting along. We see he's pretty well off. He's rich. And then the last one, love thy neighbors thyself. And notice this guy. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. He said, I've done all that. Right. We're going to see. We're going to get the litmus test in just a minute here. Oh, I'm doing good. I've done, had a guy this week telling me that his girlfriend, it was her drugs got him in trouble. And he said, I cannot believe why God allowed that to happen. It may have been clean 2 weeks. I said, all of 2 weeks? I can't imagine God doing that either. You got such a great track record. 2 weeks? You know, we think if we go to church 2 or 3 times that God ought to do something for us. Or maybe I quit drinking, stealing, and cussing. What are you going to do for me, God? Where's my reward? Anybody ever, did a cop ever stop you and say, I want to give you something for driving so good? I was watching you drive and you stopped at that stop sign and I've got a plaque from the mayor to give you because you're such a good driver. Anybody in there ever had that happen to you? No. You know why? Because we're supposed to drive like that. The fact that this kid says, I've done that, you're supposed to do it. Amen. You don't get brownie points for this, doing what we're supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to live. And he said, and then, man, I've done all these things. We're going to see that he didn't. He's not being real honest with himself, but he is honest enough. Notice this. He's honest enough to know that he doesn't have what he needs to get where he wants to go. He said, what lack I yet? I don't have it together. I've got a void in here. What do I need, Jesus? He's claiming to have done all these things, but he knows that they're not working. he knows in his heart of hearts that he doesn't have eternal life. He knows that he'd not go to heaven when he dies. It's most of us know deep, down deep inside. Yeah. Guy did tell me one time, he said, Leland, it's bad enough when you lie to other people, but it's really terrible when you lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You can't get by with it with God. You can get by with it with me, and it doesn't make any difference about me or anybody else. But it does make a difference with God. And that's who you'll stand before. Be Jesus Christ. That's who. When Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus didn't say, Saul, why are you picking on my Christian people? He didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He didn't say, why are you doing this to good folks? He said, what do you got against me? And that's what Jesus is going to ask us. What have you got against me? It's me and you. It's mano-mano. Facing Jesus Christ. Not, well, what about all them hypocrites? Just be you and Jesus. Their day's coming, but that day we're going to be you and Jesus. Hey, well, what about so-and-so? Doesn't make any difference. So-and-so's day's coming, but there's a day when it'll just be me and Jesus. Won't be any of you, just me and Jesus. And there'll be a day when it's you and Jesus. And that contains the whole group. And you will be hard-pressed to get into character references. All these things have I kept from my youth up. So he's not just a kid. What lack I yet? What's missing? What's missing in your life tonight? Look at your life, and we don't like to look at this, but if we're going to be honest, we've got to look at it. And up until this point, we're lacking. Up until this point, it hadn't been too good. Oh, there's been a victory maybe here and there, but most of the time, it's not very good. We know we're lacking something. There's a void. There's a gap. That's why the drug traffic is so big. That's why the alcohol traffic is so big. Because they're mind-altering drugs. We got to get our mind off the fact that we're lacking something. We got to get our mind off of the fact that we need something. Got to get our mind off the fact that we're losers. We're just losers. I came into this town a loser. Turn that glass of scotch up so that feeling would come that I'd forget being a loser. That euphoric something that comes from smoking a joint or crack or whatever, all of those things, the different things we might try, that we don't have to face reality. That's why they call them mind-altering drugs. You never see a happy person become a drug addict. He don't want to change his mind. I'm happy. Hey, you never see somebody that's happy become a drunk. They don't want to change that. I'm happy. Things are good. Why in the world would I want to go have a hangover? Man alive. And so he said, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if you want to be perfect, listen to it. He said, if you want to be perfect, because this guy has already told him he's done all this stuff. This guy about halfway thinks he's perfect. He said, okay, here's a litmus test now. He said, go and sell that house and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He said, sell. Give it all away. Sell all you got. Give it all away and come follow me. Oops. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, if you really mean business, if you really mean what you say, isn't it amazing how that we're pretty quick to pick on the hypocrites unless they're us? I've never met a Christian who wasn't a hypocrite one time or another. I've never met a person who wasn't a hypocrite one time or another. Everybody in here has done stuff you promised yourself you'd never do. Everybody in here has woke up places you hope to God nobody finds out you woke up there. Right? He said, let it all go. Let all of it go. Give it all. Because let me tell you something, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's what God the Father did. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave it all. He didn't have two sons. Didn't have three. Gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ just had one. He gave it all. Gave it His life. See, if eternal life is worth anything, it's worth everything. Now, I want you to notice something here. Jesus didn't say He had to do that. He said, what do I like? And Jesus said, well, what you like? He said, here's what I want you to do. Sell it. Give it away. And come follow me. Go spend some time with me. And he had great possession. It's what is it that's keeping you from having eternal life? We know about this guy. He's got great possessions. He don't want to turn loose of them. What is it you don't want to turn loose of? One more party? I don't know how many times that I've been told, Leland, when I get this done, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be saved. I'm gonna start living for the Lord. I'm gonna turn my life over to Christ when such and such happens. He had great possessions. Now, most of us in here don't have any money, but we might have great possessions that are holding us back from Jesus Christ. See? Maybe it's the wild life, the lifestyle. Maybe it's the way we treat people. Maybe it's our sex problems. He said, don't commit adultery. We got half the people in town doing that. Well, my boyfriend just doesn't want to make a commitment. Well, he made one on that old car he's driving. Made one at the health club, made one at the apartment house when he ran the farm. Now, it's not that he doesn't want to make commitments, sweetie. It's just he doesn't want to make commitment with you. Think about it. See? Well, we're really in love. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. Do you realize that all divorces started out with I love you? Think about that. Every divorce started out with I love you. And then somewhere in there, I hate your guts. Can't stand you anymore. Now notice this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Now, in my, not this Bible, but my study Bible, one of my study Bibles, I've got a note down there. It's a man's note. God didn't do the notes. He just wrote Scripture. But it said this. It said that there's a small door fixed in a gate that they opened after dark into the city. And in order to pass through it, camel had to be unloaded. Now, where this guy got that beats hound out of me, because nobody has ever found such a gate. Number two, that's teaching salvation by works. That's getting the camel unloaded. Notice what, and the disciples, they would have known that. If that's going to be true, they would have known about that gate. But they said, Lord, who can be saved? They knew. Let me tell you what, Jesus is talking about a real needle with a real camel. And no way in the world can the camel go through the eye of the needle unless God does it. Now let me tell you something else. No way any one of us can get to heaven if God doesn't do it. If God made it possible. This young man doesn't have a chance. You and I wouldn't have a chance. Jesus said, with God, with men, this is impossible. Well, it wasn't with that camel. You just unload the camel and get him through that little gate. No, Jesus said, he's talking about something that man cannot do. It don't care. Doesn't care how many camels you unload. Doesn't care how much stuff you give up. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with a miracle. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you and I. We sing our theme song, Come You Sinners, Lost and Hopeless. Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you. When he saved a wretch like me. It took a miracle. It took a miracle. Jesus Christ paid the debt. With God, all things are possible. Over the years, for 28 years, a little over, I've got friends. I tell you, when Garth Brooks sang, I got friends in low places, it was, I had friends in prison places. It was so embarrassing. I had a cousin whose daughter and her husband had a little girl. She was born as a dwarf. And she got real bad shape. And they were going to Temple Baptist Church. They were in Kyle Rogers' class, Brother Johnny. And we were going to, and that little girl got in real bad shape, like to die. In fact, they flew her out of here from the hospital to Cook Hospital in Fort Worth. And her daddy said to me, he said, you going to church Sunday? And I said, yeah. And he said, will you tell Kyle while we're not there? Will you tell Kyle Rogers? I said, yeah, I'll see him. I'll make it a point to tell him why we're not there. And so Sunday morning I hunted Kyle up and I explained to him why. And he said, thank you. And after church, Kyle come up to me and he said, I didn't know that. And called this guy's name. He said, I didn't know he'd been in prison. I said, I didn't either. He said, well, how did you know him if he hadn't been in prison? And I thought, no wonder nobody likes to hang around me. Everybody hangs around me thinking, well, he served time. That's the only reason he doesn't have anything to do with him. Yeah. Hey, but you know what? I've known some rotten people that are so precious today because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you. I get on the phone to the guy that's the largest drug bust in Seattle, Washington. He still holds that record after 30 years. He still holds. That's probably not a great record you'd want in the book of records. Yeah, I was the largest drug bust in Seattle. But just so many people that their lives were so messed up. And Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Why do we keep running in place and make no progress when Jesus said, come, come. I'll save you. I'll save you. He came here to save us. The Bible said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. That wasn't his motive. His motive was love, but his purpose was to get people to heaven. It wasn't to write a Bible. It wasn't to start a church. It's to get people to heaven. And nobody has to go to hell if you just accept heaven. The Bible said this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then he wrapped it up. He said, for whosoever, that's anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, you can do that anywhere, anytime, shall be saved. I want you to bow your heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Just for the next few minutes. You're here tonight, and maybe you've heard this hundreds of times, maybe you haven't. But you're here, and like this young man that came to Jesus, you're lacking something. You need something, and you know it. And you say, Leland, pray for me. I need to be saved. I'm not saved. Just would you slip up your hand and put it back down? Would you pray? I see your hand, son. God bless you. Just slip. I see yours, sir. Put it up and put it back down. Anyone else? I see yours in the back. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Real quick. We're going to pray just a moment. Anyone? Real quickly. Now then, you are a Christian. Somewhere in prison, in a church service, maybe in your own living room, somewhere, you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He saved you, and those were some of the best days you ever had. And then, because of just this old weakness of the flesh, because of lust, because of whatever, you drifted off and became so miserable. And you say, Leland, I need to come home. Pray for me. I'm miserable. I'm God's child, but I'm miserable. Would you slip up your hand? I see your hand. Yes, God bless you. I see your hands. Yes. Now, here's what I want you to do. When we start on the very first verse, I want you to step out and come to this altar and say, Lord, restore the joy of your salvation into my heart. For the others that are not saved, what I want you to do is to step out on the very first verse and come and meet someone down here that will tell you exactly how to be saved. They will pray with you, and you can leave here tonight knowing that you're going to heaven. I can guarantee you that. Would you stand to your feet? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. We're getting ready to pray. Nobody looking around. Our Father, you know what needs to be done here. You know what we're lacking. You know what we need. You know what will solve it. So, Father, help your people tonight to step out. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you come on the very first verse? Softly and tenderly. Come on. You lifted your hand? Yes, sir. God bless you. Take some guts to come down that aisle. Come on. God bless you. Come on. With our heads still bowed, our eyes still closed, and some people are still praying and being counseled with at the front, here's what I want you to do. Those that came on your way out on that table that we talked about, there's some manuals called What Have I Done and What Do I Do Now. It tells us about the plan of salvation. If you trust in Christ tonight, it'll go back over that where the quietness of your home, your bedroom, wherever you are, you can get those Bible verses and look at them in your Bible. The second thing is, then it says, what do I do now? About the life of a Christian and the battles to be fought and the tricks that Satan will try to play on you. And some scripture for that. I want you to pick up one of those. And I want you to mean business with God. Not just tonight, in the morning, tomorrow night. Just take care of business with God and He'll take care of you. Thank you for being here. The refreshment bar will be open. God bless you. Our Father, thank you for those that came tonight. Thank you for those that had the courage to step out. Father, thank you for those that are trusting you as their personal Savior. Thank you for those that have trusted you. And Father, it seems like we just, salvation sometimes is like treatment. We need to get back into it. We get away from it. So, Father, help us. Bless these people that came. Cuddle them up close to you. And for those that didn't, Father, I ask that you give them one more chance. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.